Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Bissell.
Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Bissell.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Bissell.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, here we go. And I may have to sneeze, so be ready to go.
Okay, I'm ready.
We got a lot to talk about here this evening on Jaguars This Week. Jeff Lagerman is here. Tony Buscelli is here. Joe Fortunato, John Dineen, your dad's in town.
He is.
Nice to see you, Mr. Lagerman. Glad to have you along. So we got a full house, and at any point you want to jump in, the phone number, as has been for 17 years, is 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Just a postscript on the whole Tebow thing. We were talking about it last week, obviously.
You know what's funny is that before I came here, my wife said, is it going to be a Tebow-free show?
No.
And I mean, because, you know,
for
the last couple
again.
Weeks, that's kind of been it.
But in all
it's
fairness,
not going to be a Tebow-dominated show.
No, but in all fairness, it's the not just here, but it's the biggest story in the NFL for the last 7 to 10 days.
Bigger than Peyton Manning signing with
yes.
the Broncos? Are you kidding me?
As soon as Peyton signed with the Broncos.
In this town, yes, but not elsewhere.
I disagree. I talked to Mark in New York. The guy has a billboard going into Lincoln Tunnel already.
Well, that's because Tim's going to New York, but the rest of the country is like, yeah, whatever.
Is Mark done in New York now?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
Mark Brunell, by the way, not Mark Sanchez. Sanchez is done, too.
Well done. There's the segue I was looking for.
But my point is...
Because here's the headline on Pro Football Talk. Revis says Jets locker room is in disarray. And for the last few days...
But it wasn't in disarray. It's been in disarray.
Well, yeah, but this spins in a completely different direction.
Well, listen.
That was the biggest press conference the Jets had since Lagerman signed. Since Namath...
You didn't know that, did you?
Did you even have a press conference?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and I actually quoted Philip Caputo's Rumor of War during that first ever press conference. I bet you didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not.
So and I quoted the quote and the page number.
But my point is this, and I
it's
appreciate
off the charts.
How smart you are.
Well, Virginia, we have that. Yeah. SC. Yeah. Anyway.
It's USC. Thank you.
That's South Carolina,
by the way. University of
Around here,
California.
That's University of South Carolina.
No, that's the other USC.
So, see, it's not going to be a Tebow show. It's going to be an SC show.
So, but back to Tebow. It's the biggest story, in going back to, in my opinion, in the NFL. Now, it's the offseason. It's a lull between free agency and the draft.
But his star power is so great right
that's
now.
That's my point. It's huge.
And that's why it dominates.
It dominates. And it is it's going to be, in my opinion, a disaster in New York.
Now I'm
and because the locker room was already in disarray.
Right.
It is a big personalities from the coach all the way down, a little bit of the inmates running the asylum type of attitude, a coach who says anything, players who say anything, a young quarterback that just got run through the gauntlet last year.
I got $20 million in guaranteed money.
Just got guaranteed, and now
but he's the leader because of that contract.
And now you bring...
That's what he said, anyway.
Now you bring the biggest story.
He may be the biggest name in the NFL right now.
Biggest name in the NFL, and you tell him that you're guaranteeing him series, playing time. He's going to be a part of everything you do.
Here's why I brought it up.
It's a circus.
Yeah, it's the circus.
It's a completely circus, it's not Tim's fault. He just wants to go play football. But what he brings?
Here's my question.
It is what it is.
Would it have been worth it? And I'll admit right now, postscript, that that drug got into me a little bit last week. I wanted this franchise to have a little more national relevance, to have that energy that they've got up there. But looking back on it now, it was probably the best thing that could happen to this franchise with this coach and this general manager wanting to execute their plan. They can do it now without the pressure of Tebow.
Well,
hey, look, if Tim Tebow had come here, there would not have been 150 members of the media at the press conference here like there was in New York. No way. No way, Tony.
I'm not saying it would have been that big. It would have been every national reporter would have been here from every sports outlet would have been here without a doubt, multiple of them. You'd have the TV.
It would have been less than half of what they had in New York.
Okay, but it would still been the biggest press conference in the history of the franchise.
But because it's New York, it's a bigger deal.
Sure it is, but it would have been Jeff.
But because of what we saw with Tim's press conference, that's the negative of having, if you had acquired Tim Tebow.
Right.
I don't know if I agree. I the negative is not the negative. So I was probably in the camp of saying, weighing everything, pros and cons, I would have done what Shad did and tried to make the deal happen. I would have pushed like he did, which he offered more than the Jets, and pushed hard to get him. I would have done that as well, because I think if you weigh everything and look at the entire picture of what it means, I think it's more positive. I think immediately you get a huge push. You are relevant nationally. You are in the spotlight. I think Tim Tebow makes you a better football team if he plays the role that he is. Now, the problem
What's that role?
The role is, I think, is if you
a can... backup quarterback that people are clamoring to see.
No.
That's role what it would be.
The role he played... No, I'm saying in a perfect nirvana.
There's no perfect nirvana with
Jeff,
Tim
you're
Tebow,
asking where
Tony.
He
you
makes
know
you
that.
Better. He makes you better as a short yardage in red area quarterback. He changes the field and changes how defense have to defend you in those parts of the game. And he is valuable there. That is it right now. The problem is the fan base and his followers and the Tebow maniacs will not let that be. And the first sign of struggle by a young quarterback, why I think it's going to be a disaster in New York, and I think it would have been ultimately a disaster football-wise here, because not so much because of Tim or what he can bring, but because of the overall culture that surrounds him, they would have clamored and made it very difficult on the football
side.
So
you ended up with what I was saying anyway.
No, I think still pro. I think I would have made the move.
You've got Nike and Reebok now. Reebok, you know, jumped in there and produced those jerseys.
They're getting sued.
Yeah, I mean, it is a circus.
It's a circus.
Is a huge
deal. I would have done it. You wouldn't have done it?
Me?
Yeah. No. I would have tried to trade for him.
No. I mean, here's a couple reasons why.
I wouldn't have given any more than a fourth rounder, but if I could have got him for a fourth rounder, like what
they tried.
Offered, they tried, I would have done it.
I wouldn't have done it because of two things. For one, I think there's a lot of negatives that come along, and it's not like you said. It's not Tim's fault. That has nothing to do with it. But the negatives that would have come along with Tim being a backup quarterback here in Jacksonville, would have been tough. The other thing is that how do you trade for a guy for the value of a fourth-round pick, but yet his salary is equal to over $6 million a year?
The last 2 years
Wait a
are
minute.
6.1 and 7.1.
The last time I checked, fourth-round pick is not worth over $6 million annually. That doesn't work.
Let me ask you a question, though.
The role that he would play in is not worth
that. Okay, but you're talking money now. So no, financially speaking, no, you're talking
about money.
You're talking about money, and the salary would have got – how much revenue would he have produced in jersey sales and excitement and all the stuff around it,
well,
if you're just talking straight dollars? Because we cannot argue any longer. He moves the needle.
No doubt.
He moves the needle. Whether you like him or dislike him, the needle is moved. And if you want to look just money, you can make the business case very strong that you push hard to get him.
I was you know, we were all following it last week.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Heck, we
– in this show, we were –
you know, everybody was trying to find out what the latest tweets were for the guys that were in the know. And I remember kind of after the fact, you know, we heard the explanation from John Elway. Tim kind of led on that the Broncos were in complete control. We could find
Which
out later
true.
That Tim was in control, and Tim fessed
was,
up
that
with that.
Disingenuous at the time.
Yes, he was the first time. But the thing that I didn't like was the comment made by Tim's brother, and that we felt wanted in New York.
That's not true. And I disagree. That's disingenuous as well.
No, but here's the problem that I have with that statement.
We.
Right.
We
Last time I
we
checked.
We were trading for you.
It was Tim Tebow.
We were trading for Tim.
That wears the jersey.
Not them.
Not we.
I knew, speaking of tweets, when I saw the tweet that said that Tim was going to have a say in it, I knew that he was going to New York right then, because any agent worth his salt is going to push a guy who's going to get to play more quarterback in the biggest market to New York rather than Jacksonville.
And so,
that was a done deal.
So take all this off now. Now if I put my Tim Tebow hat on and I was making a business decision, I'm going to the largest media market, because ultimately, right now, what I am, more than a quarterback, I'm a celebrity.
A marketable commodity.
I'm a celebrity that people love and follow. Right, and I make more money doing that?
Let me put your football hat on.
Okay.
If you have your football hat on, But you've wanted them.
If I have my football hat on, is if I could control, which I can't, so I have to say no. But if I could control,
there's no ifs.
No, but if I
if
could
you
control,
had your football hat on,
he makes
Tony,
you better.
Yes or no?
If you could live in a vacuum and you just put him on
Tony,
your team,
it's
and
not
he's
a
your
vacuum.
Third down,
Tony. Yes or no, with your football hat on.
It would be very difficult.
All right, now, in the interest of Misty Loggam insanity, let's call a break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about a very big day for the Jaguars tomorrow that doesn't take place here in Jacksonville. More to come after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Big day tomorrow in College Station, Texas, where young Mr. Tannehill, the quarterback of Texas A&M, who is reported to be climbing up draft boards, has a shot to really give the Jaguars a boost.
We need him to climb a lot because it'll either knock people down to us or make someone want to trade up to go get him.
That
either one will be fine.
To use some of your terminology, that moves the needle, so to speak, on the value of your draft position.
That's right. But also, even if you can't trade and he can get up high enough, it starts – pushing people down towards you.
It looks like this is a six-player draft in terms of the big-name impact players. And, of course, it stinks when you're picking seventh.
Not really.
Okay.
Because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Tannehill was not in that elite group.
If he goes
to begin
up,
with,
that helps.
Yes. So I'm a big believer, and I've always said this. There's no such thing as an elite group. I don't buy it.
Because Tom Brady would have been in it, right? But he was the sixth round.
You know, you go back and you look at all the drafts in history, there's a ton of players that get drafted in the latter half of the first round that turn out way better than any draft pick that ever was in the top 10. And it's not like it's, you know, occasionally. It's frequently.
Every year.
Yeah. So they're there. That's why I've always said, you know, more value in trading down.
I was going to say, you're from the Bobby Bethard school, and that was what he did for years.
Well, I'm not
in
the Bobby Bethard school because Bobby Bethard used to trade draft picks for veteran guys that were aging.
Right. But his philosophy
was
to get out of the first round. At least when he was in San Diego, he went out of the first round.
He tried to get more second-round picks.
Right.
And I'm not that far. I don't want to go that far back.
Okay.
But get me later in the first round and give me some extra picks in that second and third round.
Philosophically speaking, let's say that the Jaguars are sitting there at seven, and Tannehill goes up, and then there's a surprise pick in there. Someone wants Copels, or you choose who they are, and Justin Blackmon is sitting there at seven. Would you take a receiver with the seventh pick overall?
Yes.
If he's the highest-rated player on my board, absolutely.
Okay.
But from what I hear, and look, I'm not an expert when it comes to the college personnel, but the way you hear it is that the pass-rushing crop is not as good as the wide receiving crop. So if you have a wide receiver and a pass rushing guy, guru, and they've got very equal grades, I'd probably give the advantage to a pass rushing defensive end and use a pick later in the draft for a wide receiver.
355 NFL.
Yeah, but I don't know if any of those guys are impact players, those
receiver?
Defensive ends.
Those defensive.
Well,
there's
that.
A lot of questions about Ingram, who's up there, and Copels or Copels.
Copels. Copels is it?
Copels
know,
is the guy who made no plays. North Carolina.
You know, and then you've got the kid. What were we talking about? The kid from Illinois, Merciless, Whitney Merciless.
Had a great combine.
Did those things scare you?
Had great numbers his senior season.
Isn't he a tweener though?
Let me look him
up. Well, he could play linebacker in a 3-4,
right.
6-4,
or defensive end in 4-3.
He's Tony Bracken size.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's plenty big enough.
He could play either one, linebacker or defensive end. Would be a pass rush outside linebacker in a 3-4.
Okay.
You need play.
Play defensive end.
Let me tell you who needs you pick. This is who we need to pick.
Who do we
need? I'll give you – it's going to be very scientific. It's after a ton of research – I've watched hours and hours and hours of
ESPN.
Of sitcoms.
Can I get my boots on real quick?
Here we go.
We need to go pick a playmaker. I don't care what position he plays. A guy who can make plays. A guy who is a difference maker that you have to game plan. That is what we need. And frankly,
so not an offensive tackle then.
I don't care what position he plays. You need a playmaker. You need a guy, if he's going to be on defense, that the offense has to account for. If we're going to go get a wide receiver, that is, he has to be a number one.
Let me give you another.
We don't need any number twos or
because we're
or two A's or any of that.
We're a month
out. We need playmakers.
We're a month out from our draft. Our mock draft show will be a month from tonight, and our
I'll be killing it. I'll nail it.
And then on Thursday night we do our first round
of
coverage. So you know we got time to go philosophic. So let's do it real quick. Let's say that someone trades up to get Ryan Tannehill, which means that Justin Blackmon, Trent Richardson, and Morris Claiborne are likely in this scenario to be pushed down the board. Which of the three would you like? The corner, the receiver, or the running back?
It's not the running back.
To me, the hardest position to find, bar none, is a top-notch corner, in my opinion.
Right.
I just think they're few and far between. I think wide receivers you can find.
We haven't. The last wide receiver we found was in 1996 when we traded for Keenan McCardell.
Well, what happened? What about R.J. Soward?
1996.
SC.
That was 16 years ago. Was the last time
that wasn't
we found
a good argument?
No. We found some corners since then. We haven't found one receiver.
You're absolutely right.
Let me tell you who I don't pick. I don't pick Trent Richardson, and I forgive me all the running backs listening. This game has changed. It's it's set up for passing. It's the defense's hands are one hand tied behind their back.
But what if you're sitting there and you can't get value to go by?
I don't care. I don't pick.
And he's the highest rated player on your board.
I would rather get less value in trade.
I don't think he would be just because of the value of the position itself.
No.
I'd be shocked.
And I would take. And I would if it comes down to Blackmon and Claiborne, is that who you're?
That's a tough call.
Yeah, let's say that it's those
well, it
two.
Comes to who's rated higher, because you need there's needs at both positions. If it's close, if you're saying they're both rated the same, I'm going Blackmon.
To give your offense the playmaker.
I'm going to get Blackmon. This is a passing league. We have to have guys who can stretch the field and go make plays.
Both positions impact.
I agree.
The pass.
But you know what?
But
Derek Cox is pretty good.
No, he's good.
Aaron Ross. I've watched him play for the Giants. He can play in the league.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Rasheen Mathis comes back.
If he's healthy, he's
good. We'll wait
good.
And see. So, I got some guys I trust over there.
No, I'm with you.
Not a lot of guys that we're rolling out, and if we're picking teams, are going in the first pick. Now, I like LaRon Robinson. If he can build on what he did last year, great signing. Hopefully, Mike Thomas, whatever happened this year.
Well, which position is harder to find?
For us, wide receiver. Well,
I guess you do have to boil it down to the lowest common denominator at one point.
Overall, what's the position? And I'm talking positional value. Corner or wide receiver?
Jeff, before I would have said until the last couple of years, corner every time. But the way this game is being played now, boy, you better have a guy who can play receiver. I still think corner's a much harder position to play. And finding a shutdown corner – very difficult. I agree with you there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think Claiborne is a shutdown, Charles Woodson, Darrell Revis type of guy, boy,
take him.
Go get him. Because then you can change how you play defense.
Mm-hmm.
But he better be that guy. If he's just a good corner, we have good corners. We do have good corners. I mean, Derek Cox is a good corner. He doesn't get the credit. And he's been nicked a little bit, but he's
a
good corner.
What happens if this team, same scenario, they acquire Lee Evans in free agency. There's talk that their conversation's still ongoing. And you get some guys you feel comfortable with. Then what do?
If they're rated the same, I go get Blackmon. We need a one. You need a guy who can stretch the field. I need a guy when I played here and you played, Jeff, if they played man, the ball was going to Jimmy Smith because they couldn't cover him one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
It changed how people had to defend us.
That'd be check with me.
It was just Mark. Look at him. Say, you just go.
Go.
And I don't. You don't have to. You don't have to have that guy to win. But it sure would be nice.
I'm with you.
I look at the Super Bowl this year. The Giants had a couple of those guys. Hakeem Nicks is a one. Cruz has become a
one.
Now,
and Cruz was an undrafted rookie free agent.
Now, in New England now, they don't. They have, but you guess what? The biggest thing they're trying to go get, because they realize why they couldn't, they struggled scoring in the playoffs.
They had
nobody who could go
vertical.
No vertical. Everything's underneath. You start playing man on Wes Welker. You bump him around. You take out the tight ends, that was their biggest threat.
It's an interesting debate.
So, all right, we got another half hour of this show.
Both are good players.
And Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. When we return, we will talk about some of the changes from the league meetings down in South Florida. When Jaguars This Week continues after the news here on Jaguars Radio. Now, this portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Football Fanatics. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. How about what happened the last couple of days with the competition committee, Locke?
Not a whole lot, really. I was kind of surprised. I thought that we might have the replay official up in the booth make the determination for replays. That didn't happen. They kept it in the hands of the referee on the field, which I get that. The proposal by the Bills failed. I was hoping to see some movement on two issues, roster limit, and was hoping to see the issue kind of addressed with the IR rules, because I think putting a player on IR and you lose him for the year is ridiculous. To me, they got to have some type of system that reflects what baseball has the ability to do. But the way I understand it is that that is also a union issue, and so those two things will be tabled until further notice, which I've been told that that will be around May. The overtime rules, whatever. I'm okay with that. You know, I thought that it was entertaining in the playoffs last year, and that it can be sudden death with a safety scored or a touchdown scored. And to make it the same for the regular season and the postseason, to me, just makes sense.
Right. Consistency.
Yeah. Did I miss anything?
No, the only other thing they were talking about was giving teams an extra active roster spot if a player has a concussion.
Yeah, and I like that just because, I mean, I've been in the
– I don't. That's going to – Come on,
well, last year you lost two defensive players in one
game. I know
that,
but you know these teams. They'll be telling guys, oh, I got a headache. Next thing you know, hey, we had to put him down because, you know, we've got to go get a roster spot. I mean.
To be on the side of what you're saying, I like it because I think it takes the pressure. If they can sign a player that they can get active on game day, it takes the pressure off of getting the player back.
Too soon,
and to me, that's always a good thing.
Well, in Cleveland last year, you lost both Clint Session and Matt Roth.
Well, that's why I like, instead of having IR, boom, the player's gone, is to have a DL list, like baseball. I've always been a big fan of that. Hey, look, you know, they're talking about expanding rosters to 90 going into camp. To me, they should expand the rosters. You got practice squad already. You know, why not have the ability to put a guy on a DL list and bring up a practice squad guy? To me, what's the big deal?
Right. I've always argued you've got a 53-man roster. How come you can only have 45-1?
I agree with that.
Now,
but I agreed with it the first time I ever heard that. But the problem is there's a lot of people that wouldn't be able to dress 53 on a game day.
Right.
So they just wouldn't be available. So I'm okay with the 45 or what is it, 40?
It could be 46. Because
46.
Now you have two quarterbacks.
Right.
That's changed a little bit, but 45-1.
45-1. I'm okay with that because then, you know, some teams wouldn't be able to dress the full complement.
Right.
But if you were to expand the roster and then add DL and all that,
well,
then you could go with the 53.
Yeah. And have everybody active, which seems to make some sense.
I don't know. I think you got to have more flexibility, you know, with roster limits,
especially
during the season.
If you're going to be this sensitive to health and injuries, then you've got to have that flexibility.
If you're for real about it, you'll be flexible.
You bet.
When it comes to game day.
You're quiet over there. Please don't tell me you don't have an opinion on this.
Well, the other thing that happened at the league meetings is that I was not surprised that the league voted on the cap violation supposedly by the Cowboys and the Redskins. But at the same time, I thought, to me, the entire reason for having no cap was that that would benefit the players in the union. And so by punishing them for something that was done by the rules,
right,
to me was, I think, kind of absurd.
Yeah.
And I agree. I don't understand. If there's no cap, then there's no cap.
Well,
whatever you want in there.
And the union agreed to it because it kept the cap at a higher number.
Right.
And it penalized the Cowboys and the Redskins.
It was a negotiating ploy.
I get that. But giving other teams the expanded cap space doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to spend it. Right. Jerry and Dan would have spent it.
Every penny.
You know, so did you really benefit by gaining the extra cap space? I don't know.
I think most people who are listening are just like you. I thought the uncapped year meant there were no restrictions.
It's uncapped.
Right.
I mean, that was the union wanted that so that, you know, they'd have a free agent free-for-all.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden, you know, the big money guys would start throwing money all around the league, and all of a sudden, the pay would be going out of the roof.
Of course,
and,
you know, they had those poison pills in there that didn't allow you to do too much of that. So
I know that there's not a lot of people out there that like Jerry Jones. I like Jerry. I think he's good for the league, and I totally agree with his comments and that, hey, look, the league approved the contracts. Why should we be penalized now for something that the league approved? I disagree with John Mara, the New York Giants, who basically said that they got what they deserved. And he said that he was surprised that or thought they should have lost draft picks. To me, I think that's preposterous.
Did we talk very much at all last week, since we're talking about league meetings, about Sean Payton and that? Did we really?
We
tried.
We were so double T's last week, we didn't get to it.
You know what? Let's take the break now. Let's take it a minute early, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about that. Because we really haven't weighed in on that. And anything that's on your mind, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. You're listening to Jaguars This Week on Jaguars Radio. Rolling right along here, 12 minutes left in the show. Jaguars This Week on Jaguars Radio. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, Joe Fortunato. This headline right from Pro Football Talk as we come back from the break. Parcells: if Peyton asked me to coach Saints, that's what friends are for. Sounds like
if
Bill.
If I'll say this. I just want to put this out there.
Okay.
If Sean asked me to coach the Saints.
Would you?
I'll do it.
For 1 year.
For 1 year if I have to.
For $5 million, $6 million.
I will sacrifice my family's time and my other interests for that $6 million.
Because they got a good
quarterback. And the chance to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right. Could you think of a better situation for a guy like Parcells?
Does Parcells really think we're that stupid? Come on, Bill.
I kind of laugh at the old quote there. That's what friends are supposed to be for. Let's see. Money, some more notoriety added to him.
Super Bowl with another
Parcells
team.
Parcells likes attention.
Please.
Come on. So, I mean, that would just be right up his alley.
With Drew Brees and...
I just think that not having one of your assistant coaches kind of take over, I mean, isn't that kind of a slap?
Well, especially when you look at some of the guys who are there, yeah.
I heard this on a national show, so I don't want to take credit for it, but it was actually a good point. And they said it's the perfect scenario for Sean Payton because you know that Bill's only going to do it 1 year. What if he has one of his assistants and they go and win the Super Bowl?
Great.
But all of a sudden, if you're
– But not worth $7
million. Not for Sean.
Yeah, if all of a sudden – why am I paying you, Sean Payton, $7 million when Pete Carmichael just did it for $1 million and I got the same results?
Maybe it's the quarterback.
Yeah, maybe it's not you, Sean. Maybe it's Drew Brees.
I got a question. Is this Sean Payton's decision to make?
No. It's Benson.
It's and Mr. Benson's.
And Mickey Loomis. I mean, he's also suspended.
Yeah, but his doesn't begin until the start of the season, right? Training camp?
Yes.
Yeah, he has an 8-game suspension.
Yeah,
so.
During the season.
Okay. So what about the punishment?
You can't lie.
That's the thing.
Ultimately, that was it.
If he had come out and just told the truth.
You do not lie to Roger Goodell.
If you do, you're going to get banged hard.
And the players have learned that. And guess what? Sean Payton thought that he was above it all. And guess what? You're not, buddy.
And not only did he lie, he told his defensive staff to lie.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do in the league, and I don't want to go to the list, but it's pretty long what you can do and still play or still coach. But one that's at the top of the list is you do not lie to the commissioner, Roger Goodell. He doesn't play. I mean,
I think if Sean would have cooperated and said, listen, we messed up, this was a mistake, we realize it, yada yada, and he cooperated. Even he probably could have sold out Greg Williams, but I think he still gets suspended. It's probably 4 to 8 games,
maybe.
I think he's suspended no matter what. I think the commissioner had to, not just for the lie, but because of the bounty.
The lie though was for the year.
Lie made of the year
and his role in it.
half, if no lie, I think he gets half a year. The bottom line is he was, under his watch, he was okaying players to try to purposely hurt other players and pay for it. Well, it would have been one thing if he was just giving bounties for big hits or fumble recoveries or something like that. I think the league would have been like, listen, you can't do it. And if you'd have lied, you got suspended. But when you are giving bounties for injuring and putting guys on stretchers,
at a moment in time where player safety is the number one issue,
you can't do that. I wouldn't be surprised if Jonathan Vilma gets suspended for a year or two.
Yeah, I mean,
he's the one who was the ringleader of this player. He gave reportedly $10,000 for anyone who injured Brett Favre.
I don't know if he's going to get a year.
Well, they're negotiating that right now, right? Yeah. I mean, the Players Association.
The association's going to try to get it down as far as it can, but I guarantee you Roger wants to make it a year.
Yeah, but
Why wouldn't you? What's the difference, Jeff? What's the difference between him and the coach?
Because this isn't anything that John Vilma brought from the New York Jets and brought
to New
Orleans.
No, but this is
Orleans.
John Vilma.
Hey, Greg,
but John Vilma
thinking
was
about
the,
doing this here. What do you think?
John Vilma was the ringleader of as the player. He
well,
was the one.
Get,
yeah, he's
we
one
just
the,
know that he put up 10 grand for Brett Favre.
Okay.
Doesn't mean
fair
he's
enough,
a ringleader.
Fair enough. You're right. That's right.
Greg Williams was the ringleader.
I jumped a little bit there. You're right.
You know, Greg Williams and as head coach Sean Payton, when the league found out about it and they were told to stop, and he did not stop, and then lied about it in the end.
You're right. You're right.
The combination of those two things, that being told to stop and they didn't, and then the line.
He's getting suspended. Velma's going to miss some games, though.
The hammer became a sledge.
You know he's missing some games.
Who?
Vilma.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He should.
I would think minimum 4 to 6 games.
Don't you think the association would want him to miss some games?
No.
As an example, you don't hurt your other. I mean,
no.
Your partners here.
That doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, it's
the job of the union's always to try to get it down as far as possible.
The other owners, you know, I mean, they all said this punishment fits the crime. Why wouldn't the players take the same approach when one of theirs goes rogue? Not giving them all the blame, but why wouldn't you want to put him up and say, hey, you can't do this?
Because it's the responsibility of the Players Association to protect the players' interest.
Yeah.
Every player?
Every player. And including that's, the ones. I'm just telling you.
All right, I'm just saying.
Hey,
I think he deserves it.
Unfortunately, that is the case.
Right.
And now, a couple years ago, when the commissioner started talking about being more harsh on players that ran afoul with the law, the union was for that.
Right.
But for on-the-field stuff and stuff that is related to
and
the
drugs,
game.
But you see where
stuff.
I'm going with this. The union would want the message sent to every player that players don't put bounties on other players.
Well,
I think they've already done that.
But the
Sean.
Union doesn't need to be the ones
the union
to send that message. I mean, that message has already been sent by
right,
the commission.
No.
And so
they'd get out of the way then and let
they can't. That's not their job. Their job is to protect the players' interest.
All right. Fair enough. 355.
Now, the argument need to be said, then what about the interest of Brett Favre, who he was trying to hurt?
Well, I just think that, you know, you're going to suspend somebody. He should be suspended.
And Jeff is right. To say he's the ringleader was a jump on my behalf. But I think it'll go. He's
going to be Warren Sapp on us, you know, on this show or what?
Why would he say? What did Warren say?
You don't know that? He was the one that outed Jeremy Shockey as
speaking of living in a vacuum.
Yeah,
I did hear that.
He said that on the NFL Network, on the NFL's in-house network, he outed Jeremy Shockey.
And it was Shockey denied it though, right?
Yeah, and Warren wasn't fired. Go figure why. But it just seems to me that.
Well,
somebody from a player perspective, someone needs to take a hit.
Well, you don't think they're going to offer Vilma less of a punishment if he starts naming names?
Well, but my point, the question is, did he lie? When he was first approached, did he deny it? If he denied it, it's a year.
Yeah, see, I don't think he's going to lie.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Because they haven't
now gotten, you have an example.
They haven't gotten to the players.
Oh, yeah, but he was a part of the initial investigation, I believe.
I don't know.
All right. I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't.
But
the bottom line is,
whether he lied or not,
he's missing football next year.
Yeah, whether he lied or not, I mean, if he didn't lie, and that wasn't even a factor, 4 to 6 games, I would think.
Minimum.
If he lied.
It's a year.
Then, maybe.
It's a year, Jeff, I'm telling you. Greg Williams got suspended indefinitely, which means lifetime. He can apply back for a reinstatement.
Yeah, but the player is not the ringleader. Greg Williams was. Greg Williams clearly was. And doesn't surprise me.
By the way, what does the Players Association think of Chris Clue, the punter, coming out and saying that they should ban Vilma for life?
Yeah, no, he Clue is very – he's – now, my cynical side says he's a punter, so who cares?
Right, that's where I was headed with that.
He's a kicker.
I didn't want to say that, but I can't help myself. It just comes out. It just comes
allegedly,
out.
Allegedly, though.
It's one of those things that you feel coming out and you try to stop, but you can't.
You can't do anything about it.
He's a punter, so do we even have to ask? But there's my guess. I'm embarrassed to say that it didn't bother me all that much.
Well, you know, the only
I don't think it's right.
What's that, the bounties?
Yeah.
Been going on for a long time.
No, but the bounties, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, were more always of big hits and stuff like that. Purposely injuring a guy?
Well,
there's a fine. There's a gray area.
It's all semantics, I guess you could say. Because I've heard it said, hey, I've got $1,000 here, whoever can take that guy out of the game. The words weren't used. Injured. Now, I'm not talking about my playing days
right
here. Okay, it never happened.
Right.
But some of the old days, there was a few players that said, whoever can take out so-and-so, I've got $1,000.
Well, what did Al Davis used to say? He used to stand on the quarterback must go down, and the quarterback must go down hard. You got to put the long coat on him and put him on the sideline. It's part of the culture. They're just trying to change that now.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's, you know, I'm all for making it safer for the players.
You need to make it safer, but don't take away the toughness of the game, though. Listen, that's where I'm. If they would have come out and said that they were putting bounties out for the biggest hit or the big hits, frankly,
big deal.
I don't care. Good. I think it's stupid. I mean, aren't you going to try to hit them as hard as you can anyway? But if you want to do that, who cares?
Yeah, but
football's a tough game.
But the intentionally trying
to
injure.
But when you start all of a sudden to say you're trying to intentionally injure someone, you can't do that.
355 NFL. We're actually at the end of the show, so there's really – boy, did it go fast tonight. So we're a month away from the mock draft.
You know,
I can't wait.
Here's the question, though. Will Greg Williams ever coach again?
Not for 2 years. I think maybe 2 years from now the commissioner might let him back in, but the question is he get hired?
I was going to say.
I can't see him.
That's a scarlet letter.
I can't see the commissioner letting him back in sooner than 2 years.
Well, he said there was a path.
He gave Sean Payton a year. Greg Williams is not getting less. I mean, he's getting more than a year.
Mm-hmm.
So when the commissioner, I understand, says
he's going to have to come back as a positional guy.
He can come apply after 1 year for reinstatement. I can't imagine the commissioner reinstating him after 1 year.
Well, although the commissioner did say that there was a way that he could get back in, and he expected him to go and preach player safety at the high school and college level over the course of the next year, and that might be a way to bring his name back up a little bit.
It's not very. It's
That's what the commissioner said.
I agree with the commissioner. He's right, but it's not very genuine. If Greg Williams is getting up there talking about player safety.
I don't know.
Steph, what are you going to do?
Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that'll do it for our show this evening. Folks, have a great weekend.